Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 19th day of January, 2023. I am thrilled to have not only a first-time guest today, but also a friend who's been on this program a number of times who will be joining us as my co-host to interview our guest. First of all, our guest today for the first time is Dr. Anthony Silvestro. He is the author of On the Origin of Kinds. He is an apologist and a speaker for Striving for Eternity Ministries. And we are going to be addressing a Christian dentist speaks out against the life-threatening evils and lives of medical tyranny. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Anthony Silvestro. Are you there, Anthony?
I am. Thank you for having me on. It's a huge honor and blessing to be here.
Great. I'm glad to have you on the program, and I wanted to do this for a long time, and I'm glad we finally had the opportunity. And actually, I want to thank a listener for bringing to my attention a recent YouTube video that provoked me to want Dr. Silvestro on the program today that involves our very subject. A Christian dentist speaks out against the life-threatening evils and lies of medical tyranny. I want to thank Cindy from Findlay, Ohio, a very faithful and loyal listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before I get your personal salvation testimony in summary form, which we always do with first-time guests, I want to introduce my special co-host today, Andrew Rappaport, founder of Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the only guest that I've ever had that interviewed me on my own program. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Andrew Rappaport.
Chris, it's always a joy to be on with you, and I'll just say for your listeners to pay attention, because you're going to hear a lot of things you don't hear in the major media from Dr. Silvestro that is going to make people question lots of things. So listen carefully, and I'm going to encourage you to download this to re-listen.
And Andrew, if you could let our listeners know more about Striving for Eternity Ministries, since both you and Anthony Silvestro are speakers for that ministry.
Yeah, it's a discipling ministry. We go to churches and do weekend seminars to train people, to equip them to disciple, give materials to disciple. We do podcasts. Anthony and I do a regular podcast Thursday nights called Apologetics Live. Go to apologeticslive.com. We answer any question anyone has about God and the Bible. Sometimes unexpectedly have debates where people, atheists, come in and want to debate with us, but you can always go to strivingforeternity.org and get all the information.
Strivingforeternity.org. Well, as I just mentioned, Dr. Silvestro, we have a tradition on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, that guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you may have been raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So I'd love to hear your story now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say this. By my name, most listeners probably be able to tell I'm an Italian, which means that by birthright, you are automatically a Roman Catholic.
Usually. So, usually. I did know a family of Italians from the town in which I was raised, Amityville, Long Island, who are actually Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, you do find some outliers here and there, but most of us are Roman Catholic, and so when you're Italian Roman Catholic, what that means is you grow up, and if you're a good Italian Roman Catholic, you go to church not just twice a year, Easter and Christmas, but you go a third time, which is Palm Sunday, because you got to get your palms and make it into a cross, right? make one more idol for yourself. We actually, I often joke with people about this, but it's actually really true that a lot of Italians really go to church more for funerals and weddings than they do church on Sunday. And that's the way I was raised. So it was with a belief in God. We went to PSR classes once a week growing up and until we could get confirmed in eighth grade and not have to go anymore. And that's what I grew up doing. And in doing so, I grew up really as a person who knew God exists, which Romans 1 would tell us anyway, but somebody who God was in the background and I was just going about my life. And because I'm a dentist, I went through all kinds of science classes growing up, making me somebody who believed in evolution and trusted in evolution. Even though I had this cursory understanding of God, and yes, I prayed a lot, even as a Roman Catholic, but I was completely living like the unbelieving pagan that I was. And so I did this through high school, college, dental school. And right after I graduated dental school is when I started to get convicted of my sin. And wide-ranging sins, of course. But what was interesting is that I hadn't gone to church in years through college and dental school. And then after I had graduated, I'm like, you know, I want to get married soon. I know that when I have kids, I want them to be raised in the church. And so I actually started going back to the Roman Catholic Church. And it was, you know, dry as always. But I do believe that was God calling me to him, because it was shortly thereafter going to the Roman Catholic Church that I had met, who is now my wife, and some of her friends were witnessing to me, and I got convicted of my sin, and I got saved that process. And what was really interesting is that at first, I was trying to disprove the Bible and prove evolution, and I was doing so by reading the Bible. And it was in reading the Bible that I became convicted of my sin and knew that what I was reading was true. And so that's actually how I got saved. Was through that. And what was really interesting is I had come across Ray Comfort's ministry really early in my walk and started witnessing to people, handing out gospel tracts. And it was only a couple years after I had gotten saved that I went through the Creation Museum for the first time. And that's when I had a chance to meet Dr. Jason Lyle and have a long talk with him that day. And I walked out of the museum thinking I have to rethink everything I ever learned. I actually told my wife that. And I spent many, many, many hours studying over the next 6 months of young earth creation. So God took me from an evolution believing, what I would call atheist, who pretended to be a Roman Catholic, which is still a false religion, and turned me into not only a Bible believing Christian, but also one that fervently teaches on the book of Genesis, and knowing that the entire Bible really hinges on having a proper understanding of the book of Genesis. And so that in brief is my testimony.
I do want to do a little bit of damage control for the sake of my Roman Catholic listeners who might be more religious and dedicated than you were growing up. I myself was a part of a family that was very religious, and I attended the Roman Catholic Mass every Sunday. In fact, I was in Catholic elementary school from first to eighth grade, and I was an altar boy. So my experience was slightly different. I was not a nominal Catholic, and my family were not nominal Catholics. And in fact, my mother was a Roman Catholic. My father was an Episcopalian who later converted to Roman Catholicism when I was a teenager. But I just wanted to throw that out there, lest some of the more dedicated Catholics think that we are portraying them all in the same light. I do want to, though, concur with my guest that any form of genuine Roman Catholicism that is faithful to the dogmas of the Council of Trent is a false church. It's a false gospel. And if you are in that state of believing in the Roman Catholic gospel, which very few Catholics today would be even taught, not only would they not be taught the scriptural gospel, they wouldn't even be taught what Rome has historically taught, especially with the most liberal pope that they've ever had. But whether they be in a liberal Catholic church or even a historically traditional Catholic church, both gospels are false and damning, and you need to be rescued from that false institution by the grace and mercy and love of Christ. So I just wanted to make a little bit of a clarification on where I came from as a former Roman Catholic. And so how did you come to embrace the positions theologically that you now love and to which you are dedicated to?
Well, I would say that this is all due to really good discipleship that I've had, and I've had some great people over the years that have poured into me and spent a lot of time. Our your co-host, Andrew Rappaport, being one of them. So that, you know, it's discipleship and then a lot of self-study that went along with that. You know, I do believe, looking back on my life, as being an ardent evolutionist and God flipping my position 180 degrees to where I'm at is all by the grace of God.
Now, how did you meet Andrew? And how did you become aware of his existence?
So this is going to be a funny story that Andrew could probably tell better, because it kind of affected him more than it did me. But I had learned early on, after I had gotten saved, I got into creation. I also got into presuppositional apologetics. So I got into presuppositionalism, of which I also believe that that is the best apologetic method for us to use as Christians. So I was teaching on presuppositionalism in the Cleveland, Ohio area at a very lay level, something that I don't think most presuppositionalists are able to do. And so I was teaching this, and I was teaching this at a small conference, to which somebody at this conference, Jennifer Pepling, came up to me afterwards, says, I've heard so many people, and she mentioned all the popular names, so many people teach on presuppositionalism, I've never understood it until now. I need you to come speak at my conference. And it was a few months later, it was an evangelism conference, and lo and behold, I was one of two speakers there. The other one was Pastor Andrew Rappaport. And I found out that I was actually kind of terrified I was going to be speaking with him, because I had met him very briefly two different occasions earlier than that at a conference that he and I both attended. And then a couple months after that, I went to a Strive fraternity, what was called a FIRE conference at the time, and met him very briefly there as well. And so I was a little intimidated going to a conference now that I was speaking with him as the only other speaker. And so when we showed up, I was given the time slot of 8 to 10 a.m. to teach on the book of Genesis and presuppositionalism. He was given the time slot from 10 to 12. And this conference was a conference where the organizer said, hey, take your time, answer any questions, and I can adjust the schedule as we go. So each day, I ended up finishing not at 10 a.m. when I was supposed to finish, but at noon, which means that I took my time slot and all of Andrew's time slot each of the 3 days of the conference. And so he had to rush his teachings afterwards. And I learned a hard lesson over that weekend. Andrew ended up talking to me afterwards, and very gently, and he says, hey, you know, I'd love to have your phone number and talk to you next week. I have a heart for guys like you who are starting out in ministry and like to disciple people like you. So if I can have your number, I'd love to talk to you next week. And sure enough, we talked next week. And the first major lesson he had to teach me, and it took a while to sink in, was was make sure I stuck to my time that I was given in a time slot at the conference. So that was my introduction to Andrew.
And well, I'm excited about this topic, and when I say excited, I'm also very frustrated. I'm disheartened. I'm enraged. I'm infuriated. But I also have that all tempered and buffered by the glorious, comforting, emboldening knowledge that, and my firm belief that our sovereign Lord will have victory over all of this. But the reasons that we're having this conversation today are indeed infuriating. Tell us first of all, and of course, Andrew, whenever you find an opening in a sentence or so forth, if you want to join in with your own questions, since you're my co-host today, give us, Dr. Silvestro, the first thoughts that you had in your head when you began hearing about the coronavirus. And when people started speaking in the news about what politicians were intending to do, and then you hear the politicians themselves laying down mandates about mask wearing and then later vaccinations and so on. Tell us about all of this chronologically, you know, your first thoughts when this first began occurring. And I want to remind our listeners that you are a dentist, somebody who sits in front of, in fact, at very close, extremely close proximity to people with their mouths gaping wide open as a dentist. So tell us about your first thoughts and the way this thought process began to develop, perhaps from one thing to another.
Absolutely. So if I can, I'm going to give a little bit of my background as a dentist, just to make this a little bit more make sense. So I am not a medical doctor, and so I want to make sure I have that very clear. I'm a dentist. Dentists do go through a lot of medical training in dental school. In fact, we get a lot of medical training, plus all the dental, whereas medical doctors get like literally two 1-day courses on dental, and the rest of theirs is medicine. So we actually have a more well-rounded education. I've been a dentist. This is my 20th year practicing. I still practice part-time. I had a slowdown a couple years ago with a pretty nasty thumb arthritis, but I still practice part-time. And about 15 years ago, I made the commitment to holistic dentistry for other reasons that probably won't come up today. But so I practiced very holistically for the last 15 years. And what drove me into this overall is medicine and dentistry in general is symptom-based, especially medicine, right? So somebody comes in and they have symptoms of a disease, but the diseases never get talked about. They never really get treated, the underlying conditions. It's only the symptoms. And one thing that really disheartens me in medicine is that when somebody comes in with the symptom of high blood pressure, medicine treats it as the disease. Here's a medication for your high blood pressure, and now they look like heroes. In reality, if you talk to the DOs, doctors of osteopathy, instead, they would recognize that high blood pressure is a symptom of an underlying disease, not the disease itself. And then the medication, if you can cover up symptoms all day long, but the disease process still rages on. And so I practice dentistry very similar, where I looked at causes of whatever symptoms they had going on, whatever I saw going on in their mouths, what is the actual cause beneath the surface? And so that's where my training has been very valuable over the last 15 years, is the disease behind the symptoms. So I say all this because when 2020 comes around and we have this what they were calling a pandemic on our hands in March of 2020, you know, of course, none of us knew what was going on, right? They tell us there's this novel coronavirus. And coronavirus, by the way, is a really old virus. We know about the virus. We know it's different types of coronavirus that are out there. It's been well-researched, well-documented. But this was supposed to be a novel coronavirus, to which they were postulating that the incubation time was somewhere up to 7 days, and then somebody would get sick, and then they could be infectious for another 7 days or so, making the period to be a 14-day period that somebody could theoretically have the disease or have the sickness, whether they had the symptoms or not, and then be able to transmit it to somebody else. So that's what we knew right from the get-go, or at least what we thought we would know right from the get-go. And so when they made the announcement to shut down the country within a few days after their original announcement, there were those of us who thought it was kind of odd, because they said, we're going to shut down the country, but we're not really shutting it down. We're going to allow big stores to stay open, grocery stores to stay open, different things to stay open. And we're just going to shut most things down and let it ride. And they said that in conjunction with their fear was overrunning the hospitals. And so you may remember this term called flatten the curve. So they were all about flattening this curve, meaning that they wanted to control how quickly people were getting infected and the amount of people that were getting infected in certain time periods, so that people would be able to get into the hospital, get treated, and get back out of the hospital as the new wave of people come in. And so if you flatten this curve, then we have enough hospital beds in order to be able to treat people as they get sick enough to have to go to the hospital, and we should be good. So they believe that flattening the curve in combination with shutting down most of the country was going to accomplish the goal and be able to fix the coronavirus pandemic that they were calling it. So having said all this, guys like me were sitting back, and other holistic medical practitioners were sitting back saying, well, okay, first and foremost, if it's true that it's a seven day plus 7 days, so 14-day total for being infectious, wouldn't it make more sense if we just told everybody, look, go out, buy all the food you need for the next 14 to, say, 18 days, and then we actually shut down the country for the next 2 weeks? Which means then that everybody who is sick or got infected in those couple of days is now going to be quarantined inside their house with their family members. If you're going to get sick, you get sick, and then you ride it out. If people need to go to the hospital, let them go to the hospital. Keep the doctors there for those 2 weeks so they can sleep off and on the clock. And in 2 weeks, this pandemic would have been over with, because you would have burned out the coronavirus in those 14 days. And we would have been done. Open up the country, coronavirus would have been over with. That's, of course, not what happens, right? We kind of left the country open, which is fine. Kept the country open, let people grocery shop, let them go to Home Depot, what they called essential businesses. In the meantime, what the government pulled was something really sinister, because they were showing us pictures constantly on TV of hospitals looking like they're overrun. People sitting in waiting rooms, people in hallways on beds. They couldn't find enough beds for people to be treated. They didn't have enough ventilators, didn't have enough, you know, fill in the blank. What they didn't tell you is that around the country, the government closed many, many hospitals. They literally hand selected which hospitals were going to remain open and which ones were going to close. So I have friends around the country, doctors and nurses, who were literally either laid off or furloughed because their hospital was shut down during COVID. So now we've shut down a large percentage of hospital beds right off the bat as we are starting to treat for coronavirus. The other thing they did is the hospitals they left open, you would think that of all the floors in there, they would have opened or kept open every floor and used every floor as a treatment center for coronavirus. Instead, what they did is they shut down most hospitals, most of their floors, and only left open their emergency and triage rooms and maybe one other floor while closing the rest of them down. So what happened with the government, the hospital system is they made this pandemic look a whole lot worse. And I hate calling it a pandemic, I'm just using it for ease of terminology. They made it look like a pandemic because they had only a small fraction of hospital floors open around the country that normally would be open for business. And that's what happened early on in the coronavirus. So guys like me sat back for the first 2 to 3 weeks when they told us 15 days to flatten the curve. And then we were going to start opening the country back up again. 15 days passes. I know, and many other people know, that they closed down many, many rooms and many floors throughout the country. 15 days passes, and now all of a sudden the government changes their course. It was not about flattening the curve anymore. It was actually about, we don't want this many people dying. In fact, we don't want anybody to die from coronavirus. So now lockdowns started to come in even harder. And that's when a lot of us said, okay, hold up. Now we've got a problem. The government hid the fact they closed all these hospital rooms and floors of hospitals and closed a lot of hospitals just altogether. And number two, now they're changing the goalposts. They're moving the goalposts. They're changing what their original goal was, and they moved it to a different type of goal after these 15 days were up. And so that's what it got a lot of us alarmed right off the bat. I'll throw one other thing in there is the whole mask issue. Because it was after the 15 days that they started to talk about the idea of mask usage. And what's interesting is that guys like me who are dentists, we face, of all the professions, medical professions out there, we are the ones who face biological aerosols more than anybody else. And so who better than asking dentists who know the research about aerosols? And so what doctors were claiming, what our infectious disease doctors were claiming, what Fauci and others were claiming is that we had aerosols of coronavirus that needed to be stopped. And so therefore, we need to start wearing masks to stop the aerosols and we can stop the spread of coronavirus. However, those of us who follow the research, and again, I've been a dentist now, this is my 20th year in practice. Go back 3 years and it was my 17th year of practice or 18th year of practice. Back in 2020. And if any dentist knows this research, when you're in dental school, you read all kinds of research regarding mask usage. And we know that masks don't stop aerosols. In fact, every mask box that you read for medical masks says it doesn't stop aerosols. It doesn't stop viruses. You could go on to mask manufacturer websites, shows it doesn't stop aerosols, doesn't stop viruses. You go to the CDC website and see the exact same thing. And how do I know? Because I actually did this in April of 2020 and May of 2020. And I did Facebook Live videos on this, which no longer can be found, some of them anyway. Some of them are still up. But I did Facebook Live videos actually going to the CDC website and different mask manufacturer websites through the CDC website to show that masks are useless against aerosols and viruses, which is concurrent with exactly what we were taught in dental school, that masks don't work for aerosols. In fact, we are supposed to take what are called universal precautions as dentists, that as we are drilling on teeth and creating aerosols of patients' blood and saliva, we are supposed to be careful because masks don't work. If patients come in sick, we're supposed to send them home. If they have infectious diseases like tuberculosis, we're not supposed to treat them. Why? Because these things are very infectious and they go right through your masks. So I say all this because a lot of doctors and dentists like myself were speaking up about mask usage when Fauci and others were talking about masks. And so you noticed at that point then the media and others changed the narrative. They started to say, okay, well, it's not about the aerosols. It's about the droplets. And see, masks can stop droplets. Okay, masks stop droplets. And they are correct to a degree. But what I was telling people is this. When you go to a public restroom and you just got done washing your hands and you're now drying them underneath a hand dryer, where does that water magically go from your hands within 5 to 10 seconds? It gets evaporated, otherwise known as aerosolized. And so that water gets aerosolized almost immediately. Well, guess what happens to the droplets in your breath as you're breathing into a mask? Guess what happens to the droplets from sneezes and coughs that you cough into a mask or sneeze into a mask? Those droplets, as you're breathing 98.6 degree air in your mask, you have now aerosolized those droplets within seconds and breathing them right out, showing that masks were essentially useless for the use of COVID. Not to mention they are are breeding grounds for bacteria and viruses and fungus. People were not switching their masks the way that we do in dentistry and medicine. In dentistry, you're supposed to switch your mask out every 15 to 20 minutes because of aerosols and droplets that you're producing as you breathe normally. If you sneeze or cough in a dental office with a mask on, you're supposed to change your mask immediately. None of these rules were being followed when Fauci and gang were telling us to wear masks throughout society outside.
In fact, pick up right where you left off when we returned from our first commercial break.
Absolutely.
Dr. Fauci and the inconsistency with the mask mandates and so forth in doctors' offices, dentists' offices. If anybody listening has a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give me your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Anthony Silvestro and Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener of jewelry valued at $100 or more. So if you purchase a piece of jewelry for $100 or more at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry made, like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your business logo, your seminary logo, anything that you can think of, anything that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, RoyalDiadem.com will turn it into an absolutely breathtaking piece of jewelry, like a pendant for a necklace, a ring, or whatever kind of jewelry you want to create. I've seen their work firsthand. They are absolute masters at this craft. So if you have anything like that done, or just purchase something that they have in stock, and you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will receive 100% of the profits. And this is a limited time offer. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer yet. So please, if you have any intention on buying jewelry, either for yourself or for somebody that you love for Valentine's Day, for instance, please, as soon as possible, go to royaldiadem.com and either purchase that jewelry, mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, or start the ball rolling for your custom design piece of jewelry in time for Valentine's Day. That's royaldiadem.com. Always mention Chris Arnzett of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Dr. Anthony Silvestro, if you've just tuned us in. And he has already proven to be quite fascinating and informative on the theme, A Christian Dentist Speaks Out Against the Life-Threatening Evils and Lies of Medical Tyranny. Co-hosting the program with me is Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries. And right before the break, Dr. Silvestro, you were mentioning the inconsistency with mask mandates being laid down by what's his name again?
Anthony Fauci.
Every time I mention that name or hear it, I shudder. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so we were just talking about the inconsistency on this, and I think the proof was in the pudding when we watched people like Nancy Pelosi, who told everyone they needed to wear their masks, and we saw her going out and getting a haircut when people weren't supposed to get haircuts, and she was found without a mask on. We saw during the summer Anthony Fauci at a baseball game with no mask on. We saw a number of the elites in the country who were telling all of us to wear masks. They themselves weren't actually doing it. And so the inconsistency was in the science. They didn't actually follow the science that we've had for 40 years in mask research, ever since the HIV issues in the late 70s, early 80s. And then they themselves weren't consistent with how they were treating masks in their own lives.
Yeah, that's a key. You know, that's key evidence that they didn't even believe this was as serious as they were claiming, because politicians care about themselves very, very much. They're not going to do anything that intentionally endangers their lives or even endangers them in regard to getting a serious illness. That is a death knell to their popularity as a political figure. So it's glaring evidence. I mean, I'm obviously not omniscient, but it's glaring evidence that they never believed this was very serious, or as serious as they were claiming.
In fact, Chris,
that's right.
When this first came up, Anthony Fauci, now that we've seen his emails that they've been released, argued that mask wearing, as Dr. Silvestro has explained, does not help. And then he changed his tune. And I think that's more in line with what Anthony maybe could speak to, is he changed his tune on that. And that's more in line with what the purpose of this show is was this really a medical issue that Fauci was raising when demanding everyone wear masks, or could it be something else?
Yeah, well, so thank you for that, Andrew. Obviously, this looks very much like this was all about control and gaining control. And what better way to do it than make people walk around with masks on their faces all over and diminishing our ability to see one another in our faces. And really, let's be honest, making us look really ridiculous. And this was not a medical clinic. This was people walking outside in fresh air that they go for a jog on their own and they're wearing masks, riding bikes, wearing masks, people in cars alone wearing masks. The government did a wonderful job, and Anthony Fauci did a wonderful job of making people very, very fearful. And as we know, what fear does is fear allows tyranny to happen. Fear allows the government to gain control over people. So these were just some of the things that a lot of us were screaming about in the first couple of months when COVID came out. I will throw one other thing out at you before we, I think, walk into some of the more recent issues, the vaccines and whatnot, is, you know, coronavirus is a well-studied virus. It's well-known. It's been out there for a long time. We know all of its different, what we call serotypes, the different types of coronavirus out there. You know, when I was showing the government website on CDC on the size of coronavirus is the second smallest virus known to man. which is why so many of us were saying this won't work wearing masks, because on average, coronavirus is about 1,000 times smaller than the average size hole in a mask. And that even if this was a novel coronavirus, which it was and is, coronavirus is still a coronavirus. It's not going to change the size of the coronavirus. But as I talk about this novel coronavirus, there's one other thing that bears mentioning. And it's this. We can track coronavirus as it mutates year in and year out, the same way we can do influenza A and influenza B. There are minor changes that occur. As some of those minor changes, those minor mutations cause symptoms for people to be a little sicker than the previous year. Sometimes it's not quite as bad going forward, but they're always quite near one another. What made coronavirus unique, this SARS-CoV-2, is it seemed to be different, more so than it should have, than traditional coronaviruses. And guys that were doing genetic sequencing early on found there to be some really troubling differences. And this is where it was brought up about the gain of function research. And so one thing that is not supposed to be funded in this country, and if anybody wants to research that, go look that up on your own, do a Google search or a Brave search on that. And you'll find that gain of function research is not supposed to be funded. Gain of function research is where you take known pathogens in a laboratory and you manipulate them in various ways to try to make worse pathogens, because you're trying to predict how these pathogens could naturally mutate in real life, and then therefore try to find solutions, which is typically vaccines for those new mutations. And this type of research is not supposed to be done. And when people were genetically sequencing coronavirus, they said, this doesn't look normal. This looks like this would be a lab-made type virus in terms of being changed for this gain-of-function research.
In fact, you pick up on the gain-of-function research when we return from our midway break. We're going to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us, folks. This is the longer break in the show because Grace Life Radio requires of us a larger break, a longer break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida. So they do so by airing their own public service announcements, and we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you possibly can so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. I hope that you frequently will purchase their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, and visit their churches. But when you can't do any of those things, there's one thing that you definitely can do. If you love the show and are grateful to God that there are people and organizations that share their wealth with us so that we can remain on the air, then please thank them. Simply contact them using their contact information in their commercials and say, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, send in your emails to Anthony Silvestro, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount.
Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please always remember, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs, whether you are purchasing gifts for your brothers and sisters in Christ or for the lost people that you know and love. Solid-ground-books.com has a perfect selection of books for you. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, and you're not only going to be doing me and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Dr. Anthony Silvestro, and my co-host Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries, on the theme, A Christian Dentist Speaks Out Against the Life-Threatening Evils and Lies of Medical Tyranny, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail the old-fashioned way, you can mail a physical check to a physical address, to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and send them to that address if you prefer snail mail. Also, if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, let's say you have a law firm or a medical firm, or you just want to promote a special event, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe — you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with my beliefs — if that's the case, please send me an email immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. and put advertising in the subject line. I am just as much urgent need of your advertising dollars as I am in your donations. Ever since the hysteria connected with the coronavirus hit the world and people began losing their jobs, some of them even losing family-owned businesses that were open and operating for generations, some of them people just had a cut in their income because of this. Well, I'm guessing there must be some connection to that, because ever since the coronavirus hysteria broke out, our giving, the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio plummeted to an all-new low, and we have never bounced back. I urgently ask you to please help us remain on the air if indeed you love the show. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, I always want to remind my listeners, I never want anybody giving their own church where you are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving that church in order to give us a financial gift. Please never cut into the giving that you have set aside for your own church every Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you bless us with a gift financially. The two things that are clear in Scripture about finances is that we are to support our churches and our families. Supporting my radio show is not a command, obviously, in the Bible. But If you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and you don't want us to go away. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes even within a few minutes from where you live, anywhere on the planet. I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches near where they live, and that may be you too. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Anthony Silvestro, our guest today on "A Christian Dentist Speaks Out Against the Life-Threatening Evils and Lies of Medical Tyranny." chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And I believe right when we went to the midway break, Dr. Silvestro, you were beginning to talk about the gain-of-function research. If you could refresh our listeners' memories about that and continue in greater depth.
Yeah, so basically with this gain-of-function research, it's they were in a laboratory trying to purposely mutate viruses, including coronavirus, which they had done many times over the last 20 years or so that we know of. And Dr. Fauci and others were denying that this was the case. And it, when you had other researchers who were researching the new SARS-CoV-2 and showing that this doesn't look like this could have mutated naturally, and they were blaming it on gain-of-function research purposely done in the laboratory, Dr. Fauci and others denied it categorically. And it wasn't until somewhere in the summer of 2022, I believe, that it was finally Fauci's emails were uncovered and shown that he acknowledged that this was gain-of-function research. So it just goes to show this whole web of lies that has been spun in regards to SARS-CoV-2. So that's what the gain-of-function research was, something that was not legal to do. And they have been doing it behind the scenes for at least 20 years. And we have some evidence to believe it's been going on for 40 years in the Wuhan laboratory in connection with different governmental agencies of the United States, including the NIH. So that's the issue there. Now, I know with the title of the show, we're talking about medical tyranny and how it's harming people. I think it's a good idea to switch over now. So we've talked about the hospitals and how the government changed the goalposts, how they shut down hospitals and hospital floors, how they were lying to us about mask usage, which was not about the science and protecting people. It was really about control. And then we talked about a little bit where this virus actually came from, which has been proven to be gain-of-function research, though we don't still know exactly how they made it or for what purposes. We just know that it was made and most likely it was made in the Wuhan laboratory. So I want to switch over now to the issues of the mismanagement of COVID. And December of 2020 was an interesting month because you had that month was the month that vaccines were starting to be now rolled out. And at the same time, we had issues where we had a study that came out showing that the vast majority of people, we're talking 86% of people who died of what they called COVID in the hospital. As we know, those numbers were way overinflated, probably a different topic for a different day. But the numbers were way inflated. But of the numbers that they were categorizing of people dying of COVID, 86% of them had a woeful deficiency in vitamin D. And why this is so significant is because the naturopaths and holistic doctors, as early as March of 2020, when all of this stuff came out about coronavirus, they had talked to people about doing a cocktail of vitamins to boost the immune system. One of which was vitamin D, another was vitamin C, another was zinc, and another was quercetin. people who went on these vitamins either prophylactically or went on them during treatment of coronavirus, so early on in coronavirus, when they were treated naturopathically, we do not know people who died in taking these vitamins in the amounts they were supposed to be taking them in. Furthermore, a lot of these holistic doctors that were putting people on these vitamins were also putting people on either hydroxychloroquine, which was effective in the first couple of days of use, or ivermectin, which was effective for the first couple of weeks of use for people who had bona fide coronavirus infections. Why is this significant? Because the medical community refused to treat people with vitamins, and they refused to treat people with what they were calling a horse dewormer in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which they said was a very dangerous drug. Now, anybody who is in medicine knows, or dentistry knows, that patients have been on hydroxychloroquine for decades safely. It's an old, safe drug. People who had systemic lupus, as well as other types of autoimmune diseases, were on hydroxychloroquine for decades without problem. Why was this not even being tried to be used in treatment? Ivermectin, they call the horse dewormer. It's very well known to be antiparasitic as well as other side functions. There were studies that were done on ivermectin in 2015 and 2016 in the use for different SARS type infections. So naturally, there were doctors who were asking about its use and telling people to use it as early as March and April 2020. In fact, by the time December 2020 rolled around, where we had the studies to show people's deficiencies in vitamin D that were one of the main risk factors for dying of COVID, we also had a medical clinic in California who was testifying in front of Congress mid-December of 2020, in front of the United States Congress. These doctors ran a large private medical, actually three medical clinics in Southern California, and they testified in front of Congress that they were giving ivermectin to all of their staff members, doctors and nurses and other staff members. They were giving ivermectin prophylactically. It was either once or twice a week. I cannot remember this completely right now. But they're giving it to ivermectin. Not a single person got sick when they had this prophylactically in the clinic. Furthermore, they lost not a single patient when they were using vitamins as well as ivermectin in terms of their therapy. And they gave very specifics on this. They were using vitamin D to the tune of 100,000 IUs a day to be split up twice in a day, 50,000 in the morning, 50,000 at night. They were giving vitamin C 1,000 milligrams every hour, or they were giving it IV, which is a better way to dose vitamin C for people. They were giving 100 milligrams of zinc, 50 morning, 50 night, and they were giving quercetin, which 500 milligrams of that twice a day, which is what helps drive zinc into the cells and makes it more effective. They were doing that and ivermectin, and they were helping people with COVID. You had other holistic doctors that were talking about giving vitamin B complex, especially a high dose of vitamin B6 and vitamin B12 to help with coronavirus and energy levels. You also had other doctors talking about giving melatonin because we know that melatonin is one of the most potent antimicrobials and anti-inflammatories of the body. So if we could give melatonin, what everybody knows to be the sleeping pill, if we gave liquid melatonin at night, anywhere between 10 and 50 milligrams at night, that this was very effective in helping to kill coronavirus. All of these things were very easy for hospitals to do. Vitamins cost virtually nothing to give IV. The ivermectin is a really, really cheap drug. In fact, you can go buy it for next to nothing at veterinarians' offices or going to different stores that are selling this for horses. Hydroxychloroquine, very cheap drug. None of these things were being used. In fact, under Trump, we had something called the Right to Try law that was passed, that patients and their families, when all else fails, were allowed to request the use of any type of drug. This was specifically made for clinical trials where people, if they didn't fall under a clinical trial category over all these years, like say for cancer treatments, they weren't allowed to use it. Under Trump, this law was passed that you could use anything in a clinical trial or any other drug that a doctor or patients would request to be used on them if it looked like they had a hopeless prognosis. Doctors were ignoring the ability to use vitamins, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of COVID. Why? Because the government, during the entire year 2020 and even since then, has mandated a certain way to treat COVID throughout the entire year of 2020 and again going forward. And they gave no ability to use things like vitamins, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine for these patients. Despite the right to try law, despite the fact that there are no known side effects to these vitamins and these dosages, and that there's no known side effects to the dosages required for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to be used for even several weeks worth of time for patients that were undergoing care for coronavirus. Instead, what hospitals were doing were slapping people with oxygen, different types of face masks, and eventually a ventilator, which virtually nobody, I can't say nobody, but virtually nobody survived once a ventilator was put onto them. This was absolutely sinful. On top of all that, there was a drug that was being used called remdesivir, which is supposed to be an antiviral drug. Back in 2015, was found to cause severe kidney damage, multiple organ system failure, especially in the use of SARS patients. We have studies on this. And somehow, remdesivir was the only antiviral and the only drug that was allowed to be used for coronavirus treatment in 2020 and since then. This remdesivir is what has killed so many people. You can look through the charts of all kinds of patients who died of coronavirus who put on remdesivir, and almost all of them look the same. They died of multiple system organ failure, especially kidney failure. And that's what they died from. It wasn't coronavirus. It was the multiple organ system failure. It was downright sinful that we saw these things occur. Not only were doctors talking about the vitamins, not only were they talking about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, but there is another very easy treatment that was used at the time. And for listeners out there, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin are wonderful for every type of viral infection, especially respiratory infections. Melatonin is effective for any type of sickness that you get as well, that you take it at night before you go to bed. Yes, it helps you sleep, but it's also very potent to help kill microbes. The other thing that you can do for anything that is respiratory is using a nebulizer. If you do not own one, go on to Amazon or some other website and buy a nebulizer for yourself. You don't have to pay more than $50 to $70 for a good nebulizer. And what a nebulizer is it aerosolizes whatever liquid you put into it and you breathe it in. And so what holistic doctors and naturopaths were saying early on in COVID, March and April of 2020, is that if you get a nebulizer and you put in a specific solution of saline, which is salt water, and either hydrogen peroxide, which you have to cut down from a 3% solution to anywhere from a 0.1 to a 0.6% solution, or you put in iodine to what they specify with saline, or you do a saline mix of hydrogen peroxide and iodine. If you do this early in treatments and breathe it in through your nose and through your mouth alternating, so you get it way up in your nasal passageways and you breathe it deep in your lungs, that you can kill off COVID and other respiratory viruses really early in the ballgame. Patients who did vitamins and a nebulizer didn't die of COVID. It doesn't mean you didn't get sick. It was a real virus. It was a lab-made virus. We know those factually. Yes, it is. It seems to be more infective than traditional coronaviruses. So that was true as well. And that's part of the gain-of-function research that they caused it to be this way. But it was certainly not a death sentence for people. Even the numbers that we had early on and since then, we showed that SARS-CoV-2 deaths were less than 1% of people if you were under 70 years old. In fact, it was less than 0.01% if you were under 70 years old. It only climbed to over 0.01% if you were over 70, and then especially if you're over 80, which, by the way, are age ranges that people die more frequently from pneumonia as well as other types of infections. So, you know, for listeners out there, you know, it is highly advised that you get those vitamins in your medicine cabinet, use those when you get sick, have a supply on you for the future, as well as to have a nebulizer and some food-grade hydrogen peroxide and iodine on your person at all times, so that if you get sick, that you've got ways to treat yourself at home. And there's plenty of holistic websites you can go to find what those proper mixes are for your nebulizer.
Well, we have a number of listeners who have questions. We have, first of all, an anonymous listener. And let me find that. Here it is. The anonymous listener says, after calling Dr. Silvestro 2 weeks ago, he's helping as I'm experiencing long COVID for 8 weeks now. And, I guess it's just a comment, not a question. Well, why don't you tell us about this long COVID that he is speaking of?
Absolutely. So we are not really sure what is causing the long COVID. We just know that some people, when they get COVID, it's gone. Actually, most people that are healthy, COVID is gone within just a few days, 2, 3, 4 days at max, especially if you're using your vitamin regimen for this. There are some people that appear to be healthy, and we don't understand why this occurs, but they have these symptoms that are ongoing, lasting for weeks and even months. And that's what's being called long COVID. There's a number of reasons that we believe are causing this, but we haven't had enough research time yet to really figure this out. So we believe long COVID is caused by a massive depletion in your mitochondria of vitamin D, as well as other metabolites. And then as well as a depletion of the melatonin. And so if you're not somebody who gets in the sun a lot, who doesn't get good natural vitamin D and good melatonin production in your mitochondria, we think that that might be one of the issues. So you get depleted from being sick, and until you get your blood levels boosted up and your mitochondrial levels boosted up of these supplements, that you're going to get long COVID symptoms. So the treatment has worked for a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, to boost your vitamin D levels really to the same levels as if you're undergoing active treatment for coronavirus. 100,000 IUs of vitamin D every day. You're doing your vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams every hour or two. Your zinc, 50 milligrams morning and 50 milligrams at night. And your quercetin, 500 milligrams morning and 500 at night. Those are what's recommended. If you feel like you still have symptoms in your lungs, you are supposed to be using a nebulizer. And again, you can look up websites like Dr. Mercola or Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's a good friend of mine, and see what mixes you use for peroxide and iodine. There was also one other really interesting issue, and this is being studied right now. There's something called toxoplasmosis, and this is actually a type of a parasite. Now, people in general have parasites. As I've gone through a long battle of different things health-wise, and finally in the last year I've been able to lose all the excess weight I've wanted to lose and feel great. One of those things I've had to do was to reduce and eliminate the parasite load in my body. And you do this through cutting out foods that are high in parasites, like pork and lobster and shrimp. And there's supplements that you can take that help knock these things out. And so toxoplasmosis is a type of parasite that seems to be in large amounts in people who are suffering long COVID symptoms. So if we can knock out those parasites by boosting people's immune systems and also taking certain supplements that will knock out parasites, one of which could be ivermectin, which is a drug, and then there's others that you can take that are just supplements that are not prescription-based, it seems like that will also help to knock out long COVID. So that's the way we're trying to treat this right now, although the research is ongoing for long COVID. Most people are getting rid of their symptoms within a few weeks undergoing this type of regimen. So that's what it is.
And I want to let our anonymous listener know if you send me an email with your full name and mailing address, obviously I'm not going to disclose that information on the air since you remain anonymous, but give me your full name and mailing address because you have won on The Origins of Kinds, the book authored by my guest, Dr. Anthony Silvestro. So make sure you give us your full name and full mailing address. We have the aforementioned listener in our audience, very faithful listener, Cindy from Findlay, Ohio, who is the very reason that we are having this program today, because she sent me the video of Dr. Silvestro speaking on the subject that we are addressing. She says, "Hello, Anthony and Chris. Would you please address the died suddenly phenomenon?"
Yeah, boy, this is really, really disturbing. And this has to do with actually the last thing I really wanted to make sure we got to today, and I'll answer any other questions. And before we get to that, I will say this. For any of your listeners, Chris, one thing that I do as a doctor and wanting to help out all fellow Christians, anybody who emails either you or myself at anthony@strivingfraternity.org, I will give codes to. So I have doctor accounts with a number of really good supplement companies out there. One of the best in the world is called Premier Research Labs. And the company is wonderful. And instead of me selling things at a large percentage of profit, I have an ability to give out the highest percentage code possible, 45% off every supplement that you buy. People can sign up for accounts under my accounts and just go online themselves, buy whatever they want. They have a perpetual 45% off code that they can use for that. And they can buy whatever supplements they want to help themselves out. And you can get all the great supplements here through that company. But having said that, when it comes to died suddenly, it mainly has to do with vaccines and the spike protein that it causes in the body and it puts into the body. So there is the video itself goes over embalmers. So people who are removing blood from the body and pumping in formaldehyde and glutaraldehyde and other preservatives for the body after people die. And what they're finding in the bloodstream is massive clots that they've never seen prior to the vaccine rollout in late 2020, early 2021. And the embalmers have largely been silenced about this. The people most affected are the smaller funeral home companies, because large funeral homes that have really expensive high-end equipment, they've noticed the clots, but it hasn't affected their machines a whole lot. They just noticed really thick blood that's hard to pump out and hard to pump in than the preserving fluids into the body. Smaller funeral home directors and companies who don't have as good of equipment are finding a lot of their equipment is getting jammed up with these blood clots that they've never seen again before the vaccine rollout. So we believe that the issues people are having in dying suddenly have to do with one of two areas. One is blood clots that are occurring as a result of the spike protein, and we're not even sure what the full mechanism of this is. But people are dying of blood clots. And the other one is people are dying of sudden cardiac arrest, probably in combination with blood clots. And they're literally just, they're normal one moment, and then they drop dead a second or two later. And it's an unbelievable phenomenon that we're watching. So I know Cindy, who brought up my video to you that I did, this video was done Monday night of Monday Night Football when Denny Hamlin, the safety for the Buffalo Bills,
right,
dropped on the field. And his was a case, as far as we know, of sudden cardiac arrest, vaccine-mediated. Nobody wants to say whether he was vaccine, that he had a vaccine or not. However, we know that the vast majority of NFL players were vaccinated. Either they did it willingly or were shamed into doing so. There's only a handful that weren't. And so I'm quite certain that if he was not vaccinated, we'd have known about this by now. So Denny Hamlin dropped. We're not sure if it was from a blood clot and sudden cardiac arrest or just sudden cardiac arrest, but he would be like one of many, many people out there that have died suddenly.
And what's the update on him, by the way?
Well, he seems to be fine right now. He has shown up to the Buffalo Bills practice facility apparently nearly every day now since he got out of the hospital. My suspicion is that he's not going to be playing the rest of this year through the playoffs. And I would honestly be surprised if he ever played again.
Wow.
He still may. Who knows? If they figure out more of what's going on with him. So here's what's interesting about the vaccine is, and honestly, we won't have time today to go through everything about the vaccine, but I can tell you this: the vaccine is downright dangerous. And one of the things that bugged me most about the vaccine is that is something called proper informed consent. As a medical doctor, myself as a dentist, any procedure you do on a patient must sign off on. They must know potential benefits, potential risks, any type of problems that could arise, any type of side effects that could arise of everything that you do on a patient. This is in the state law of every state. This is federal law. You must give proper informed consent to every patient. Otherwise, you could be sued for this. Why is it that vaccines are exempt from informed consent? Why is it that hospitals and medical practitioners have been exempt from treatment in COVID in every state in the country from proper informed consent? It's absolutely ludicrous. Why is it the vaccine companies are able to make vaccines with blank inserts and not have to tell us everything that's going on with them and cover up the research that was done in their clinical trials? It is asinine that this has actually occurred.
And we're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. Please, if you have a question, send it immediately. We're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
And I hope as many of you listening will join me at the next G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Don't forget about that discount promo code G3ISIR to get 30% off your registration fee. That's G3ISIR when you go to g3min.org, g3min.org to register for the G3 Ministries National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. We are now back, and before I forget, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, make sure we have your mailing address because you have also won a free copy of On the Origin of Kinds by our guest, Dr. Anthony Silvestro. And Andrew Rappaport, if you could quickly tell us about what you are going to be speaking at the open-air conference From Shadows to Substance in Tullahoma, Tennessee, February 16th through the 18th.
Yeah, that conference, we've changed it up. Originally, we were speaking on topics dealing with the book of Ephesians, but he's changed that up, and I will be speaking on the topic of Abraham's offering of Isaac. So this will be looking at this being from the view of at a covenantal conference, having someone who's more dispensational. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure Dr. White will maybe have some differing views than me, and we could get into some fun discussions. But that is going to be a really enjoyable conference. That's the Open Air Theology Conference in Tennessee.
Wait a minute. You're dispensationalist? What are you doing on this program?
I get along with all types because my concern is more what the Bible says than the theological systems.
I know, and I always knew you were a dispensationalist. And by the way, since you offered before the show, can you please give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a plug and an urgent plea for donations?
Yeah, I would, because I always, when I come on, I ask folks to help Iron Sharpens Iron. People don't realize how much goes into a program like this. People think, okay, well, I can't give a whole lot. Well, every amount helps. If you want to go to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, go out to the website, and as Chris already mentioned, to donate, this helps keep this on the air. The more support that we could give, the less support he needs from sponsors, but sponsors are good. But a lot of the interviews you hear are of great, great value. And so one of the best ways is to make sure you're helping. We can cut out that Starbucks coffee every day. That's enough to if every listener did that. Cuts out some of those things, we can help keep Christian ministries like Iron Sharpens Iron on the radio so that you can continue getting good content. So that would be my encouragement.
Well, I really appreciate it. And once again, that's ironsharpensironradio.com. And click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want more information about the conference, where Andrew and nine other speakers will be speaking from Shadows to Substance, February 16th through the 18th in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Go to covenantrbctn.com. That's covenantrbctn for Tennessee.com. And you'll have all the information that you need. Dr. Silvestro, I already know that I want you and Andrew back on the program as quickly as possible because we've just scratched the surface. And perhaps next time we could give more time to the vaccines and their dangers. But I want you to conclude the program uninterrupted with what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Real quick, Chris, before he gets to that, let me just plug, if people want to hear Anthony speak, he's going to be at the 2023 Reforming Families Conference. That's going to be April 29th in Osceola, Indiana. And so that's going to be a Berean Reformed Baptist Church. He'll be speaking on the relevance of Genesis. That's one you don't want to miss.
Great. And Dr. Silvestro?
Well, if there's one thing I can leave all your listeners with is this. Don't believe the media and the medical system anymore. They tell you it's all about the science. And what we have learned in the last almost 3 years now is it's literally the exact opposite of the science that we know. They're not doing science anymore. They're not following science anymore. They're following propaganda and they're politicizing everything that we are watching now in the medical field. And so when it comes to vaccines, you know, I am somebody who has a son who is vaccine injured, and that's what got me into holistics to begin with, and I can talk about that more maybe next time. But I can tell you that what the medical community is telling you is not always true. And when they tell you they have your best interest at heart, that's also not always true. And these last couple of years should have opened the eyes of everybody to start to question everything you hear from the medical community. When it comes to these vaccines, be wary. If you haven't had one yet, my suspicion is you're not going to get any at any point because you already know the dangers. And the more that time goes on, the more that we're finding out about the dangers of the vaccines, and the more we're finding out that the naturopaths have all been right since early on in this. If you have had vaccines, I would urge you, stop getting any more. Don't get any more boosters. Be done. And the reason why is yes, I know I'm not a medical doctor, but when you have companies that don't have, that aren't getting proper informed consent, they're purposely not telling you what's in the vaccines. We have no control over what's in the vaccines right now. And everything that they have told us has been a downright lie in terms of the clinical trials and the efficacy of these vaccines. That should cause you to be really, really worried about them. And then when you combine that with the cardiac arrests that's occurring, especially among top athletes in the world, I'm going to throw one stat out there because I know we're at the top of the hour here. Before 2021, depending on the study you read, you have between 20 and 60 athletes around the world per year that died of cardiac arrest, 20 to 60, depending on the study. Most of the studies are in the 20s. And then all of a sudden in 2021 and 2022, the years the vaccines were rolled out and are used, there's no other variable that has affected this. There's been over 1,600 athletes that we know of that suffered from cardiac arrest in those 2 years, over 800 a year that we know of, and over two-thirds of them, over 1,100 of them, died as a result of that cardiac arrest. Again, nothing has changed other than the vaccine rollouts and the spike protein issues are causing in people's bloodstreams.
Okay, quickly give our listeners your contact information again.
Absolutely. My contact info is anthony@strivingforeternity.org.
And the website is strivingforeternity.org. I also want to throw out there my own physician's website. He is just as much opposed to the coronavirus vaccines as Dr. Silvestro. He is also against the farce of the mask mandates. Dr. Joel Yeager can be found at heritagefamilyhealth.org, heritagefamilyhealth.org. He's been a guest on this program discussing a book he co-authored titled Coronavirus and the Leadership of the Christian Church, A Sacred Trust Broken. That's heritagefamilyhealth.org. I want to thank you, Dr. Silvestro, so for being such a superb guest. I hope that you return very quickly. If you remain on the phone there, I will get to your, I will get you the dates as quickly as possible. And thank you also, Andrew Rappaport of strivingforeternity.org, for being my co-host. I hope you could join Dr. Silvestro and I very soon. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.